So we are in 351 in Mor Nevuchim, and the Rambam has told us the metaphor of the palace, the different madregos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he told us that if you want to have Yedias Hashem, the last thing was you have to think about Hashem, and one aspect of that is having time for meditation and separating from others. And we are now up to where it says in the English note I've shown you. and I'm going to read it, if it's okay, from here. And hopefully you'll follow along there, either in Hebrew or the English.
Okay.
A call to attention. We have already made it clear to you that the intellect which overflowed from him may be exalted towards us is in the bond between us and him. You have the choice. If you wish to strengthen and fortify this bond, you could do so. If, however, you wish gradually to make it weaker and feebler until you cut it, you can also do so. So we have the choice whether we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not. And the Hebrew is dibuk, or dvekus. In other words, do you want to have dvekus or not? That is in your free choice. You can only strengthen this bond by employing it in loving him and in progressing toward this, just as we've explained. So Avas Hashem is what makes the dveka stronger. It is made weaker and feebler if you busy your thought with what is other than he. So if you think about other things besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you weaken that connection. Know that even if you were the man who knew most the true reality of the divine science, which we think is Maisa Merkava, you would cut that bond existing between you and God if you would empty your thought of God and busy yourself totally in eating the necessary or in occupying yourself with the necessary. So even though you are a very wise person, you've studied Maisa Merkava, but when you stop thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're doing things that you need to do, you're eating, you're going to work, whatever it is, you've broken the bond while you're not occupying yourself with your thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You would not be with him then, nor he with you. For that relation between you and him is actually broken off at the time. Because remember, the chibur is created through the thinking of him, like he said. It is for this reason that excellent men begrudge the times which they are turned away from him by other occupations and warn against this, saying, do not let God be absent from your thoughts. Gemara in Shabbos. And David says, I have set the Lord always before me, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not bend down. He means to say, I do not empty my thought of him, and if it is as if he were my right hand, from which, because of the rapidity of its motion, my attention is not distracted even for an instant, and therefore I do not bend down, that is, I do not fall. So now we're going to get into this concept of hashgacha, right? That if we're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we are connected to him. And to the extent that we're connected, so then we are not, we are zocha to a higher hashgacha. And we, Hashem, will not let us fall. So that is a very important principle. We already saw that idea in 317, that the greater the person, the greater the hashgacha. But here, he's saying it a little bit differently. It's not a stira, but it's a similar in the sense that it's naturalistic, meaning to say it's through the chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there is this hashgacha and shmira. And he's going to elaborate on this. But it's different. Then he just sounded like all we knew from 317 is a higher madrega, the more hashgacha. But here he's told us how it worked. It's by thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your mischaber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's through that chibur that there is hashgacha. And therefore, even when a great person ends that chibur, so there's no hashgacha, seemingly, or less hashgacha. Now we're going to see he's going to modify this point, or clarify, shortly. And this is a very important thing that he's about to say. And why is it so important? Because, as you noted before, that there's certainly a very strong emphasis on the intellectual achievements and connection. But now he brings in mitzvos as well. Know that all the practices of the worship, such as learning Torah, tefillah, and performance of other mitzvos, have only the end of training you to occupy yourself with his commandments, again, mitzvos, may be exalted rather than with matters pertaining to the world. Now, I want to add something very fascinating over here, which isn't our topic, but it's very fascinating nevertheless. He just told us that the purpose of all mitzvos is to basically help us think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and focus on him. Now, the Rambam, earlier in the third section, has about 10, 12, 15 chapters on Tamei HaMitzvos. And many of those Tamei HaMitzvos are about how mitzvos create a good society. Mitzvos are healthy. They're, I think, sociological reasons, historical reasons to separate us from Avodah Zarah, biological reasons. And here he says something else. Here he says the purpose of all mitzvos is to help us be mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which one is it? These are very different reasons. This is not about society. So the Akedas Yitzchak makes a point, and he shows it from a couple other places. I think it's a very true point, that the Rambam actually thinks that there's two types of Tamei HaMitzvos. There's Olam Haba Dikatam and Olam Haza Dikatam. And they're both true. They're both true. Oh, no problem. Here you go. So we're on page 26.
27
by now. Okay. So the Olam Hazadika reasons for mitzvos are true. And that is what he describes in those things. They have value in Olam Hazah. The laws of kashrus are healthy, and things build a just society and all sorts of things. And then mitzvos also have a second reason, Olam Haba. This is especially important when you think about what he says about korbanos and other things. And that's what he's saying over here. So it's not a stira. The Rambam writes, and this is why it's important, because you shouldn't think that all those reasons that the Rambam gives in the earlier parts of Chelek Gimel are that's it. That all he thinks is the purpose of Tamei HaMitzvos is just these sociological, biological reasons. No, I would say the Iker Tam, if anything, is this Olam Haba Dikah reason. So again, it's to help us, mitzvos are to help us stay focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should act as if you were occupied with him, may be exalted, and not with that which is other than he. If, however, you pray merely by moving your lips while facing the wall, and at the same time, think about your buying and your selling. Okay, we know what that means. So you're thinking about other
Never
things
done
during Shemona Esrei. Or if you read Torah with your tongue while your heart is set upon the building of your habitation and does not consider what you read. And similarly, and this is fascinating, in all cases in which you perform a mitzvah merely with your limbs, as if you were digging a hole in the ground or hewing wood in the forest, right? Mitzvos anashim lumada. Without reflecting either upon the meaning of the action or upon him from whom the commandment proceeds or upon the end of the action, you should not think that you've achieved the end. Rather, you will be similar to those of whom it is said, you are near in their mouth and far from their reins. A pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Now, what's incredible about this line is as follows. We all understand that, let's say, if you're reading words of Torah, but you're not really thinking about what you're saying, that's a very little value. But if I do a mitzvah without thinking about why or the purpose of the mitzvah, okay, maybe I'm missing a certain hiddur, it's clearly, I think, better to do a mitzvah and thinking about its purpose. But You wouldn't say, at least I wouldn't have intuitively thought, that you're sort of missing the whole point. If you're davening without kavana, thinking about your business, if you're learning without thinking about what you're saying, you're really missing the boat. Mitzvos, I think we tend to think of as thinking about these things are valuable, they enhance the performance of the mitzvah, but we wouldn't say you're missing the boat.
Well, wouldn't it depend on the mitzvah?
So maybe, but he says all mitzvos, right? So he's putting them together. Mm-hmm. And I think, first of all, this is an incredible thing. In terms of when we talk about what's the purpose of tamei mitzvos, the Ramban writes the same thing, the Meiri, many Rishonim make this point, his son also in Sefer HaMaaseh, that for a mitzvah to achieve its perfect purpose, we have to be thinking about inyana. If you remember, we saw the Ramban, I think, earlier, a couple months ago, when we did the Ramban in Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, and he gave the example of mezuzah. And he says, if you do a mezuzah and you're mechaven b'inyana, so then you've achieved a great thing, because look, by simply doing this mitzvah, you've been basically acknowledging that God created the world and his chesed and his hashkacha and nevuah and the like. And if you don't, so what have you done? So the Rambam believes, and again, I don't think the Rambam is alone here, but it's a very important thing, and why I think it's so important to think about why we do mitzvos, that if you don't think about the purpose of the mitzvah, you've largely missed the point. And that's true, again, not, I think, about the olam hazadika purposes of mitzvos, the ones that he described earlier. Those, if you like them, good. If not, not. But rather, the point that he's saying over here. From here on, I will begin to give you advice with regard to the form of this training, so that you should achieve this great end. So the Rambam's told us, you know, what's our goal? To be mizdabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to learn to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we all know that thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't an easy thing. We don't naturally or easily control our thoughts. How do we do this? So Rambam says, don't worry, I'm going to tell you step by step how to achieve this madrega. The first thing that you should cause your soul to hold fast onto is that while reciting Shema prayer, you should empty your mind of everything and pray thus. In other words, we're not... We can't just go from wherever we are to thinking and meditating about God all day. So step one, Shema, okay? Only one pasuk. Can you focus entirely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shema? That's where you start. Then, first pasuk, then all of Kriya Shema. You should not content yourself with being intent while reciting the first verse of Shema and saying the first benediction. Don't just, not just the first pasuk and the first bracha. It's interesting because he parallels the first perek of Shema with the first bracha of Shema. Even though what's immediately before Shema is the second bracha. What do you have? It's different there?
Okay, well, in the Hebrew it says the bracha, the tefillah bracha rishana, which I
think... First bracha. Okay, that makes more sense. I was going to say something else, but that's first. Okay, now why do we pick these two things? Because we know, lahalacha, that kavanah is ma'akev in these two things and these two things alone. There are two things where if you don't pay attention to the meaning of the words, you're not yotze. The first pasuk of Shema and the first bracha of Shemon Esrei. So what he's saying over here is, even though it's true that minimally, that's what the halacha demands, and if you don't do that, it's not ma'akev, but he's saying don't content yourself with that. When this has been carried out correctly, so once you've done that, and has been practiced consistently for years, cause your soul, whenever you read or listen to Torah, to be constantly directed, the whole of you and your thought, toward reflection on what you are listening to or reading. So this is also, again, fascinating. Years, right? This is a slow process. Learning how to focus our thoughts, it takes a lot of time. So you start off with the beginning of Kriya Shema and the beginning of Shemona Esrei. And then you expand to any time you're learning or hearing Kriya Satora. When this too has been practiced consistently for a certain time, cause your soul to be in such a way that your thought is always quite free of distraction and gives heed to all that you're reading of the other discourses of the prophets. Okay, so you've done it during Kriyas HaTorah, now you're going to also during Nevi'im, Me'af Torah, and even when you read all the brachos, so that you're in the aim of meditating on what you are uttering and at considering its meaning, right? So what's the goal? We're not yet working on meditation. We're working on simply davening with kavana, paying attention to the words that you're saying. If, however, while performing these acts of worship, you are free from distraction and not engaged in thinking upon any of the things pertaining to this world, cause your soul, after this has been achieved, to occupy your thoughts with things necessary for you or superfluous in your life, and in general with worldly things, while you eat, drink, or bathe, or talk with your wife and your small children, or while you talk with the common run of people. What does that mean? To occupy yourself with things necessary for you, I guess his point is, you know, we do need to think about things, right? Not just Hashem. We have things in our life. So when should you think about them? So you're not going to be doing it while you daven or while you learn. So you'll think about it while you're eating or while you're drinking, while you're bathing. That's when you'll think about the other things. Thus, I provided you with many and long stretches of time in which you can think all that needs thinking regarding property and the governments of the household and the welfare of the body. In other words,
he didn't have cell phones in those days.
Right, exactly. So he's saying, like, don't worry. You're saying, when am I going to think about my business? Right? That's, you know, I'm not, right? It's very fascinating because Rambam, you know, had very high hopes of what you could achieve. But you see here, in a certain sense, he's very realistic about what he expects. It's going to take you years to just get past Shema and Shmon Esrei. And he's saying, don't worry, I know you have a lot of, you need to think about your business. So I'm setting aside plenty of time to think about your business. When you're taking a bath, when you're eating, when you're drinking, when you're talking to your wife, don't tell her. That's when you're going to be thinking about these other things. I'm not trying to tell you to stop thinking about these matters. On the other hand, while performing the actions imposed by the Torah, you should occupy your thought only with what you are doing. Just as we have explained. So when you're doing mitzvos, you're going to be thinking only about what you're doing. You're not going to be thinking about other things. When, however, you are alone with yourself and no one else is there, and while you lie awake upon your bed, you should take great care during those precious times not to set your thought on work or anything other than intellectual worship consisting of nearness to God and being in his presence in that true reality they have made known to you, and not by any of affections of the imagination. So this is a very incredible, like, you know, don't squander those precious moments of quiet. They're so rare. And, you know, when you're laying in bed and you're falling asleep, don't let your mind wander. Don't squander that time. Don't think about your business. Because how often do you have quiet moments? Not so often. So he's saying, be very careful. Take great care during those precious times, when you're...
Somewhere the Rambam talks about in Hakdamah to something, he talks about how his whole day and how when he finally got to bed, he would fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah, that's in a letter.
To his son, right?
It's not to his son. It's a letter to Ibn Tibbon.
Okay.
And he bemoans that. In other words, that was later in his life. And he basically says, I'm so busy, Osik B'tzarchi Tzibor, I don't have time to do anything. Not even learn, barely.
Before this, when he was still in Spain?
No. He wrote almost nothing when he was in Spain. He left Spain as a kid. He wandered around for 20 years. But the Mor Nevuchim was, at the end of his life, he really had very little time to do, as he said, as he writes, so busy with the Osik B'tzarchi Tzibor. But he, earlier in his life, he did have time to learn. If he was that busy, he never...
A little time to learn and write a few small books.
Right, exactly. So in my opinion, this end can be achieved by those of the men of knowledge who have rendered their souls worthy of it by training of this kind. Right. Now, it's also interesting, like even that, you know, this is quite later on in the process. Okay. And there may be a human individual who, through his apprehension of the true realities and his joy in what he's apprehended, again, note, as we pointed out last week, simcha is a big part of this, achieves a state in which he talks with people and is occupied with his bodily necessities, while his intellect is wholly turned toward him, may be exalted, so that in his heart he's always in his presence, may be exalted while outwardly he's with the people, in the sort of way described by the poetical parables that have been invented for these notions. I sleep, but my heart is, my heart waketh, right? Libi er, anishain ve'ed. So it's interesting. It is the voice of my beloved called Dodido fake, and so on. What's the pshat in that mashal, in Shir Shirim? He's saying the pshat is that I'm doing one thing, but I'm thinking about another. I do not say that this rank is that of all prophets. This madrega, where you're basically constantly thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when you're engaged in the mundane aspects of the world, because you have to be, there are things you need to do, but you're still thinking about God. This is an incredible madrega. And he writes that not even all Nevi'im achieves this madrega. I was once with a friend of mine who's a very, very chashuv person. His name is Mordechai Linzer. He actually comes to Pesach once a year.
Now you saw that, right?
No, that's his brother. Silver Spring is my friend. We used to be chavuses many years ago. And after high school, he went straight to the Mir. But he visited me once in KBY for Shabbos. And we were invited to Kiddush by like the sort of executive director of the yeshiva. And it was sort of one of these long, drawn-out kiddushes, like for 45 minutes, and with a bunch of people, and he asked them. Anyway, so whatever we do, you know, what are you going to do? So, like, we come out 45 minutes later, and he participated in it. Like, he answered the questions. And he said, I came up with the following 9 chidushim during this kiddush, and then he listed them off. It's like, wow. So that's what the Rambam says. That's what we should, even when we're engaged in other matters, we could still be thinking about Hashem. But again, he says, this is an incredible madrega, and not even all Nevi'im. And to be a Navi, you need a very high madrega, as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Yisrael Torah. They didn't reach this madrega. But I do say, he already said before this was what David achieved, and now he's saying, I do say this is the rank of Moshe Rabbeinu, of whom it said, and Moshe alone shall come near unto the Lord, and they shall not come near, right? So it's comparing the nevuah of Moshe to others, and of whom it is said, and he was there with the Lord, and of whom it is said, but as for you, stand you here by me. All this according to what we've explained regarding the meaning of these verses. So elsewhere explain what these psukim mean. This is also the rank of the avos, the result of whose nearness to him may he be exalted, was that the name became known to the world through them. Right? In other words, the Avos brought Shem Hashem to the whole world. The God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Zeshmi Leolam. Because of the union of their intellects, the apprehension of him, it came about that he made a lasting covenant with each of them. Then I remember covenants of Yaakov and so on. Good? Okay. Now, he's going to get to Hashgacha. For in these four, I mean, the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu, union with God, I mean, apprehension of him and love of him. So again, putting together the intellect and the emotion, though again, they're mixed, because Kefiah Yediyah Kein Ha'ava, became manifest, as the text testify. And also the providence of God watching over them and over their posterity was great. So because their kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great, so too the Hashkacha was so great. With all they were occupied with governing people, increasing their fortune, and endeavoring acquired properties. In other words, you know, the Avos were involved in the world, right? They dug wells. And in fact, you know, these wells caused them lots of tsaris, at least in the case of Yitzchak. Nevertheless, they were always thinking about God. Now this is, to my mind, a proof that they performed these actions with their limbs only, while their intellects were constantly in his presence. The exact opposite of what he said before, right? Before he said, that people do mitzvos with their limbs while they think about their business. For the Avos, it was the opposite. They did business with their limbs while they were thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems to me that the fact that these four were in a permanent state of extreme perfection in the eyes of God, and that His providence watched over them continually, even while they're engaged in increasing their fortune. In other words, they experienced hashkacha even while they were involved in business, because while they were involved in business, they didn't stop thinking about Hashem. I mean, while they tended their cattle, did agricultural work, and governed their household, was necessarily brought about by the circumstance that in all these actions, their end was to come near to Him. Right? They were mechaven l'shem shamayim. They were mechaven to come close to Him, maybe exalted. And how near? For the end of their efforts during their life was to bring into being a religious community that would know and worship God. And this is also important, right? Because the emphasis here isn't merely intellectual, right? So they were mechaven l'shamayim shamayim in all that they did. They brought religion to the world. For I've known Him to the end that He may command, right? Thus, it became clear to you that the end of all their efforts was to spread the doctrine of the unity of the name in the world and to guide people to love Him, may be exalted. So everything that the Avos did was for Achdus Hashem, for Avas Hashem. Therefore, this rank befitted them. For these actions were pure worship of great importance. This rank is not a rank that, with the view to the attainment of which someone like myself may aspire for guidance. Okay, we have a little bit of humility. In other words, this is like, I'm not even close to this madriga. It writes here in a footnote, the Arabic phrase could have two meanings. Someone like myself cannot aspire to be guided with a view to achieving this rank, or someone like myself cannot aspire to guide others with a view to achieving their rank, which is actually very different in connotation. But one may aspire to attain that rank which was mentioned before this one through the training that we described. In other words, it sounds like he's saying, this madriga, the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously, he's not saying that it's impossible, right? Everybody could be a tzaddik like Moshe, as the Rambam writes. But in a practical sense, you shouldn't be striving for this madriga. You should be striving for the madriga before this. What's the madriga before this? Madriga before this is when you're doing Torah and mitzvot, you're thinking about God. When you have quiet moments, you're thinking about God. And when you're taking care of your business, then you're taking care of your business. And you're thinking about the other things so that you're free to think about Hashem when you're doing it. Right. One must beseech God that He remove the obstructions that separate us from Him, even though most of them come from us, as we explained in certain chapters and treatises. In other words, we have to ask Hashem for help with this, even though to a large degree it's our fault anyway. Your iniquities are separated between you and God. Okay, I'm going to stop here, but we're up to the most exciting part, because the next section, he's about to tell us the most brilliant einfeld he had about hashkacha. Okay, the most extraordinary speculation has occurred to me. And he writes that this hashkacha is like, there's such hashkacha in this einfeld that I had. So we're leaving off at the most...
Are you reading a different translation than
yes,
I have?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh. Sorry.
He said that in the beginning?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like struggling to keep up. He's kind of saying the same thing.
Well, yeah. Okay.